Good morning, good morning. Good morning to all you who are watching online. We're so grateful that you could join us. We had an amazing weekend, didn't we, ladies? I gotta switch my phone. Let's hold it this way. Yes, we did. I mean, God is breathing a fresh wind all over the earth. I don't know if you know that or if you noticed, but the darkness is getting worse, right? So the light needs to get stronger. And God is making available fresh and new anointing for us. Because we got to rise above it. You know, we can't be discouraged and we cannot live the way that we used to live. And so we as women, we just took a day where we positioned ourselves to be under the river. Under the throne of God and let His river just flow through us. And it was amazing. It was beautiful to watch. We had about 20 women that came together and we had some teaching, but it was mostly just waiting on the Lord and letting Him do the work in us. Because we could stand up here for 24/7 and say all the best things, but if God doesn't do that work, that supernatural spiritual work in our hearts, then nothing changes. And we as men and women of God, we want the change to begin in us. So that we can be that light. So it was just such a privilege to host that. And as many of you know, we had friends from Florida. Kirsty and Nancy came up to help. And we had another friend named Adrian. She drove up from North Carolina and prepared wonderful food for us. She served us with love. And it was just, it was so good to see just the unity and all of that. God, He restored our broken places, mine as well. And we just had a day of rest. So I just want to thank all of the husbands and the fathers, the brothers, the children who allowed your women to come and just have a day. Just have a day, pull on the reins, and just to be quiet and sit. So just want to honor all the men in the house for picking up the slack so that they could be here. Yes. I know some, yeah, it was a stretch. So thank you. Thank you for allowing that. We do want to share some testimonies with you because we know and we believe that chains are broken through the blood of Jesus Christ, but also through the word of our testimony. So important. And like I shared with the ladies yesterday, our testimonies, when we speak them aloud, it's so good for us because it confirms the work that God has done in us, but it also is good for others to listen and to hear, and it strengthens and encourages them. So for those of you that we talked about, I would like for you to, one by one, or all of you can come up together. Whichever, would you feel better if all of you stand up here together? Yeah. Okay. You're going with Chloe? Awesome. Well, we'll start with Ange. Okay.
I'm sure all of you have experienced this, but you know when you have a date with Jesus and everything tries to keep you from having a date with Jesus? Well, that was my time. I knew it Friday night. I knew something big was going to happen because I was 10 or 15 minutes late, which I never am. And I just felt like I was fighting the whole way to get here. And Kendra met me at the door and she's like, "I'm so glad you're here." And I'm like, "I'm so sorry I'm late." And she said, "It doesn't matter. You're here." And she gave me some lotion that smelled good. And she said, "Go sit down." She said, "This is your time." And it's so funny because my mind just is always like, oh, I got to do this, I have to do this, I have to do this. But I knew this was it. This was the time I had to sit. And I do not sit well. I am a bad sitter. So I had to sit, you know. And I was already saying to Kendra, you know, "What can I help you with?" She said, "Sit." Okay. So I sat. And I just cannot explain. You know, the Lord heals you in layers. And you know, I've had big healings in my life, but there's always that little extra that He wants to get at. But He doesn't get at it until it's the time to get at it. And it's not just for women. It's for you guys, too. And this weekend, they showed a VeggieTales video, which I love VeggieTales, by the way. And I had never seen this one, but it was a Snickerdoodle one, which is similar to Dr. Seuss, which you all should see it. I think you should play it, Pastor, because, yes, you should. But it talks about how through your life, you know, God created you, He made you, and He has a picture of you. But through your life, other people draw pictures of you, and they tell you things about yourself. And you take those and you put them in your backpack and it weighs you down. And I'm sorry, I'm going to cry. My kids always tell me not to cry, but I'm going to. But I, you know, and you think you have all these healings and you think you have things that don't bother you. But I had a thing that a fifth grade teacher told me I talked too much. And I didn't realize that that affected me. And whenever I get up here, I feel like I talk too much. And the Lord said, you don't talk too much. You talk what I want you to talk. So I'm sorry if other people think I talk too much, but Jesus told me I don't. So you're probably going to have me talking a little bit more and a little bit more boldly. But that picture, I did not realize, because we all have gifts, and I do believe God gave me a gift of public speaking. But I have been afraid to use that gift because of that picture. And it's not to preach, it's to share. Because Jesus is amazing. He is not religion. He is a person. And He is a best friend. And if you open your heart just a little bit and let that best friend in, it changes your life. And you can share that best friend with other people. The thing about it is, He's not just my best friend. He's your best friend. Your best friend who will stick with you whether you're grouchy, you know, whether you've had a bad day, whether you've messed up. And He doesn't shame you. He doesn't draw a picture of you that says you messed up. You know, I mean, you know you messed up. But He doesn't shame you in that. He says, I know you messed up. But I love you anyway. So get up. This is my picture. And try again. So anyway, I hope that helps you guys. And if you can, find that video, because it's amazing. So anyway.
Thank you, Anna.
Well, I'm not a public speaker, so... But I was really looking forward to coming this weekend. I knew I needed renewal and I needed refreshment. And I was very eager to come, and I was not disappointed. I just feel like there was so many good things that the leadership team put into place so that we could just relax and really focus on God's love for us and what He wanted to deal with us in our lives. I really appreciated the fellowship that we could have with very good food that we did not have to cook. and the teaching was good. And I really appreciated the most the time that we just had alone with the Lord to reflect on what the teaching was about. And during one of those times, after the teaching on forgiving others, the Lord really, I guess, shocked me with who He revealed to me that I had to forgive. And it was actually a group of people in my life that I've really struggled with forgiving this year. And so I'm just very thankful that God gives us freedom through forgiveness. And I know it was just the first layer of forgiving. There's going to be a lot more. But I feel like I was obedient in choosing to do that. And I feel like... I just am appreciating and thankful for the freedom that I've had through doing that forgiveness.
I'm next because I'm an overcomer by being up here. It was a blessed time for me. And there were two things. One, God revealed to me that I've always felt helpless because I had a chaotic childhood. And I had no control over what I went through, and I believed the lie that I was helpless, and I've had to walk alone so many times. But God has been with me. God has helped me. I can't depend on people. I have to depend on God. I am an overcomer. I can overcome through Jesus. I can more than conquer. And that's the same for all of us. God brings into our lives what we need, and sometimes we feel all alone, but we aren't alone. So, you know, He is faithful. And the second thing, He's convicting me to come out of my comfort zone. It's so easy to get get your little cliques and your friends, but I really worked on trying to meet new people. I don't want to be that person that has a clique. You know, I want everybody to be welcome into my life. So.
Well, not like Angie. I don't like speaking in front of everybody. But it was just such a wonderful weekend, and we took a look at women, how Jesus sees us as women, and that He loves everybody, but it's not always equal love. It's love geared to you. And He went to women when nobody else would. And so it was just a real blessing seeing that. And then being pampered and not even letting you take your plate off the table and just not have to do anything. It was just a wonderful time with all of us. And I just enjoyed being with everyone.
I don't really have to talk because Ange took my entire testimony. So I guess I'll just say one quick thing. I was an hour and a half late, so I beat you on the lateness. I did not really want to come. I just kept thinking, I'll have to do this, I have to do that. Saturday's my only day. I mean, I work 6 days a week, so Saturday's my day of rest. And in my head, I was thinking, like, it's not going to be restful. It's going to be one more thing. I was going to ask you guys to take bets if I would cry or not, but you knew I would. So, but no, it was exactly what I needed. And it took me about probably 4, maybe 3 hours to just get my brain to shut down. Because like Ange, I have, 10 million tabs going. And Kendra said, put away your phone. And I got kind of mad because I was like, I got to check an email. But like, I didn't have to, I really needed to just have that time. It was a time of refreshing. And I knew that I needed it, but I didn't want it because I was so dry. I was just like the song that we sang today. Like, I was dust. I was just dusty. And the Lord met me where I was, and I was not in a good place, but He came anyway. And I asked Kendra that she would just pray over me she said, what do you need? I'm like, I don't know. I need everything. And she prayed over me just for that renewal and just I just want for my love to be renewed, just for the joy of my salvation to come back, because I did not have joy. I did not have the fruits of the Spirit. And she prayed over me. And you know what? When you ask God for something, this is a true statement. He actually gives it to you. And sometimes we forget that I do. I don't know if you do. But I think, who's to say He's going to give me this? Well, the Bible says it. And, the Bible says, ask and you will receive. And how do I know that He's going to give it to me? Because I pray for His desires in my heart, and I know that He will not let me down. And He never has. I let myself down. I forget. I continue to let strongholds in my life that shouldn't be there. But every time without fail, when I ask for refreshment and I ask for Him to fill me with His Spirit, He does it. The Bible tells us that He is faithful. He will answer our prayers when we ask in alignment with His will. And so I do feel refreshed. I'm glad that I went. I'm very grateful. And also, just a side note to my husband, I was really stressed because I had so much to do. He is a good house cleaner, okay? I did not know. I'm sitting here, you know, 6 o'clock. I gotta go do 10 loads of laundry and clean my house and get ready for company. And it was spotless. So if you need a housekeeper, Dan Zook, it was so good. But I'll just leave you on this. Really, I felt there was a lot that happened this weekend and just a lot to kind of unpack. I'm still trying to, you know, figure out what all happened. But the one thing that I guess like a nugget that I have that I want to leave with you is ask, you know, just ask him. Like, if you need joy, just ask for it. You know, if you don't have peace in your heart, like, ask for it because he will give it to you. So, sorry for crying.
So if I'm being completely honest, yesterday Miss Kendra came to me and asked if I would come up and share, and I am not a public speaker like my mom. So I was not sure, but then I felt like the Lord was telling me that I should, and so I just texted her and said, I'll do it. But recently I've been really stressed out with school, and it's kind of put anxiety on. So Miss Kirstie was talking yesterday, and she read this verse that really stuck out to me. Luke chapter 4, verses 18 through 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that the captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. And after she was done teaching, we had a time where we would just sit and soak and pray. And I prayed to God and asked him to take off my anxiety and overwhelm. And it was like he just took it off my shoulders and threw it away. It was an amazing time to just sit and fellowship and be in his presence. Thank you, Miss Kendra.
So good. So good. You guys may be seated. Thank you. Oh, wow. I'm going to grab my book here. What time is it? Oh, I'm just going to share a few words before we close, because I just think the Lord has spoken, right? He spoke in worship, and he has spoken through the testimonies. So we don't need to fill up the time with a lot of words. Is that okay? Are we okay with not having a regular sermon? Is that all right? I just wanted to encourage you, and I would like to play that clip. We can do that at the end. Just allowing God to restore your destiny. And that's what he did this weekend, and that's what he does every single day. I'm just reminded of a few people in the Bible. Mary Magdalene is just an amazing, she was kind of our poster child this weekend. We really referred to her a lot. You know, Jesus cast out 7 evil spirits from her. That's how she first encountered Jesus. She was pretty much a wreck, like many of us are. In our past and even today, we're just a wreck. And we encounter Jesus, and he cast them out. I mean, she was a prostitute. And of course, she was used and scorned by many of the religious leaders. Then we see another story of her, and here she's pouring out the contents of her alabaster jar on Jesus, just expressing her love, crazy in love with Jesus, because she knows that she has been forgiven much. And the religious leaders are looking at her like, what are you doing, you Jesus freak? Can't we identify with that? You know, we're super excited about what God has done with us. And then people look at us like, what? What? Well, it's just because they haven't encountered Jesus. But I love Mary's reaction. She didn't even say anything. Jesus defended her. like he will do to us when we step out and are bold and be who God has created us to be. Jesus defends us. And he said to them, he said, you know, she has been forgiven much. You don't love me because you haven't been forgiven. Mary knew. She knew. And that just spoke to me this week. Jesus has forgiven me much. And so how am I expressing my love to him and to his community? And I love what he said to her after he did that. He said, be in peace. He said, go in peace. Go in peace. So he restored her. He defended her. And he's sending her out in peace. And she followed him. I mean, she followed him to the end. We see another story. There she is on the cross. There Jesus is on the cross. And where is Mary? With Mary, the mother of Jesus, with John. She was with him till the end. She knew Jesus. She knew what Jesus had done for her. She knew that her life was changed. She knew that God has restored her destiny. She was destined to be a prostitute, an outcast for life, especially in that culture. But Jesus restored her. Jesus let her go with him everywhere. You know, he wasn't afraid if she would mess up his ministry. He wasn't afraid if she would bring a bad reputation to his ministry. That's how I want to be. I want to be like Jesus. I want to restore people's destinies. I want to breathe life into them. I want to let them just be and learn to be who they were created to be and who they're destined to be. And then we see in John 20 where Jesus has risen from the dead. And Mary goes and she sees the tomb is empty and she's freaking out. Oh my gosh, what they do to my Jesus? And Jesus, who she thinks is the gardener, says, you know, what are you doing? Oh, maybe you know. Where have they put him? And he's like, Mary. And instantly she knew that it was her Jesus, the glorified Jesus. And she was going to throw herself at his feet. And he's like, ah, just wait. I haven't even gone to my Father yet. And he took the time out of his day on his way back up to heaven to present himself, the Lamb of God, to take the time to say, Mary, I've got you. I'm here. I'm your Savior. And then he said, go and tell the others. So he entrusted her with the amazing news that he is alive. How amazing is that? And that's what he does with us. He entrusts us. No matter how we were raised, what we've done, what we still are today, he entrusts us with that amazing news to go and tell that he is alive. Jesus is alive and he changes people. It is true. It is true. I mean, we just heard some testimonies and we see it in the Word. There's so many examples. Gideon. God took him, a scared little leader, you know, in hiding away in a cave and made him an amazing leader. And he rescued Israel from that time. You know, Peter, he was very rash, undisciplined. And the very last words Jesus said to Peter are, do you love me? Feed my sheep. He changed Peter's destiny. He trusted Peter with the good news. Peter messed up so many times. And he said, Peter, go feed my sheep. That's a changed destiny. That's a changed life. Esther, I know many of us have seen the Sight and Sound story of Esther. Another one. She was an orphan, a nobody. Jesus changed her destiny, made her highest lady of the time, and she was able to save her people. We don't know what God has planned for us. We don't know. We don't know our tomorrows. And so wouldn't you want to trust your life to somebody who does? Trust your life into the hands of the God who knows your destiny and wants to bring out the best in you, to make you the biggest, the best version of you. And we're all different. We're not all called to be up here. We're not all called to be up front. There isn't any position that's more important than another. In the church, out of the church. I think that those who have jobs outside of ministry, those that are in the workplace, are more important than those here in the church. Why? Because you see, you brush shoulders with the people that need the truth most of all. We're just here as leaders to encourage you to get your butts out there and do the work of the ministry. That's what Ephesians 4 says. Apostles, prophets, teachers, leaders, we're here to equip the saints to go do the work of the ministry. And I want to repeat a little bit what I said yesterday to the women. I want to free all of you all here in Lansdowne to be greater than Ricardo and I. To be greater. Jesus even said to his disciples, you will do greater things than me. We want to encourage you to be the best that you are called to be. We want to send you out. We want you to reach more people than we've ever reached. We want you to excel, to thrive, to just live out that destiny. And if you're still living and you're 70, you're 60, you're 80, you still have a destiny to live out. You are not done serving the Lord until you're dead. I mean, those of us who are older, those of you who are older, have such wisdom. And I've just so enjoyed just being here in Lansdowne because of that. You know, we've always been around younger people, young married people. And I just am gleaning from so much wisdom and amazing knowledge that you guys have because you've lived the life. And I honor you for that, for serving Jesus this long and for raising your kids well, for raising your grandchildren well, for being that voice and that light to the people that are around you. So you still have that destiny to live out. Don't think that you're done. Ricardo will put you to work. I want you guys, I mean, we are the official pastors, father and mothers of the house, but if you guys have ideas and visions and ministries that you want to start, come and talk to us about it. Do it. We want to free you to do what is in your heart to do. So Jesus, he comes and he restores our destinies, but we have to allow him to do that. Of course, Jesus, God made us with a will. So the only work that we have to do is to position our hearts and have an attitude of, yes, Lord, I will trust you for my life. Do your work in me. Restore me. Restore the broken places. Strengthen what is weak so that I can live out my destiny. And your destiny, some people, when you're young, I used to think your destiny is something that you like you've arrived. You know, if you want to be a doctor, okay, you've done all your studying and now you've arrived. No. Your destiny is lived out day to day, doing God's will every day. That's your destiny, doing God's will every day. And like for us, I thought our destiny would be forever in Haiti. Sometimes it takes a drastic 180, 360, I don't know, turn, and you end up somewhere else. But that's just the amazing roller coaster ride with Jesus. And if you trust him with your life, then he knows what you need. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to stop there. I do want to play this clip, and then I just want to have a time after we have our watch this video for you to just be able to respond and let God heal you of whatever you need to be healed, for you to have a time to say, yes, Lord, I want to live out your destiny in me. So as soon as they're done playing, if the worship team could come up and we'll just play a song. I don't know if you have anything else that you want to close with, but I just want to bless you women. I want to bless you men, women of God, men of God, to go out there and be who you're created to be, because you are wonderfully and fearfully made. And we are for you. You have a body of believers here. We're going to stick together and encourage one another on. I love you so much.
And now, a Snoodle's Tale. Far, far away in the land of galoots, where the bigglebag trees bear their bigglebag fruits, and far lily bushes all blossom in yellow, and thimbuddle plants squirt snooberry jello. Here, where the mountains of Rocky Magoo rise high o'er the meadows of Gilda Manju, where sunsets are painted with purple and blue, you'll find a small town, not much bigger than you. Welcome to Snoodleburg, home of the Snoodles, a curious folk who eat pancakes with noodles and spend half their days making sketches and doodles and cutting their hair into shapes like French poodles. Now, right in the heart of this curious town is a curious building, the tallest around, with a clock at its top and a chute at its bottom. 'Tis pink in the spring and turns red in the autumn. But weirder by far than its color or height is what happens there every fourth Tuesday night. As strange as it seems, it has been demonstrated that snoodles aren't born, but rather created. Every fourth Tuesday at 9:15, the tower will shimmy and rattle and whine, and as the town nibbles on bigglebag fruit, a shiny young snoodle will drop from the chute. That's where they come from, though no one knows why, nor who could have built the great tower so high. These mysteries of life befuddle most snoodles, who'd much rather focus on pancakes and noodles and cutting their hair into shapes like French poodles. Yes, most found the tower too noisy and strange, until one small snoodle made all of that change. This little snoodle was much like the others. He came without siblings, no sisters or brothers. He came without money, a mom or a dad. The pack on his back was all that he had.
This is peculiar,
the little guy said.
I came from a chute and I fell on my head? What do I look like? What am I for?
He pondered those questions and then thought of more.
Checking my bag is a good place to start.
He pulled out some paints.
Maybe I'm good at art.
The next thing he found was a snoodle kazoo.
Hey, what do you know? I can make music too.
Then back on his pack, he pulled a small string, and out from the sides popped two little wings.
Amazing!
He said with a gleam in his eye.
I can paint, play kazoo, and now I can fly. Wait till the others see all the great things I can do with my paints, my kazoo, and my wings.
So he packed up his paints and his snoodle kazoo, and he hopped off to show them all what he could do. There from the top of a short, stubby wall, the big snoodles heard the new small snoodle call.
Come watch me, you guys, as I head for the sky.
He straightened his wings with a gleam in his eye. Then he jumped, and he flapped like the red snooted finches that fly from the plains to the peak of Mount Ginches. His flight, unlike theirs, covered only 12 inches.
You call that flying?
You think you're a bird? We've never seen anything quite so absurd.
The old snoodle snorted. He sniggered. He shook.
I'll paint you a picture to show how you looked.
The brushstrokes were skillful. The colors were coolish. The story they told made the young one feel foolish.
Take it from us,
said a snoodle named Lou.
Flying just isn't what you're meant to do.
The young snoodle drooped. He felt his heart sag. The painting the old snoodle placed in his bag.
Carry this with you,
the old snoodle said.
So visions of flying don't go to your head.
The weight on his back was as heavy as lead. So under the weight of the picture he bore, he hobbled along feeling lonely and sore. Till up far ahead on a bench near the tower, he spied a bright bundle of far lily flowers. His heart started lifting.
were beautiful things.
Then he remembered.
I've got more than wings.
So quickly, he dug the paints out of his pack and hoped that with art, maybe he'd have the knack.
I did it!
He yelled to the snoodles in town, then held up his picture as they gathered round.
You did it all right,
said the snoodles, replying.
You showed you're no better at painting than flying.
Then one of them laughed, and while eating a waffle, painted a picture that made him feel awful.
You're puny.
You're silly.
You're not all that smart. You can't use your wings, and you're no good at art.
That picture, too, was placed in his pack and made his heart slump just as low as his back.
I'm ugly. I'm foolish and so very small. I don't think I should be with Snoodles at all.
And so he decided to get out of town. His wings hung so low that they dragged on the ground. He walked past the tower and out of the city. He walked through the fields and thought,
my, this is pretty. The far lily bushes all blooming in yellow, and thimbledore plants squirting snowberry jello. I might like it here,
said the small snoodle fellow. Then feeling some warmth coming back to his chest, he thought he would sit for a moment and rest. But try as he might to sit down with grace, the weight on his back knocked him flat on his face.
Ha! That's a who!
Said a voice from behind. A farmer stood up with a thimbuddle vine.
Why, you need a picture, my Snoodleberg bud. Lest you forget how you look in the mud.
And so in an instant, the picture was done and placed in his backpack, which now weighed a ton. The poor Snoodle struggled. He wobbled. He groaned. He stood to his feet and he said with a moan,
is there anywhere I can be truly alone?
Just then overhead flew two red-snooted finches, winging their way toward the peak of Mount Ginches.
I see,
said the Snoodle.
Then that's what I'll do. The home for those finches will be my home, too.
So painfully, struggling under his pack, the small Snoodle inched up the big mountain's back. He crawled over boulders in rain and in lightning. He trudged on and on, though the journey was frightening. Till finally, on Sunday, at 2:15, he spied all the meadows of Gildemanjoo and realized he was on top of Mount Ginches, alone with the wind and his thoughts and the finches. He thought of the Snoodles. He thought of the tower. He thought of the bell that would chime on the hour. He thought of his pack and his very long walk. He thought it so loudly, he heard his thoughts talk.
Hello,
said his thoughts.
You've made quite a climb.
That voice,
he remarked,
doesn't sound much like mine.
Then he turned and he noticed he wasn't alone, for a man stood behind, near a cave in the stone. He looked like a snoodle, though quite a bit bigger.
Maybe a giant,
the small snoodle figured.
I'm going,
the snoodle boy said with a huff.
And don't paint a picture, I've got quite enough.
But first, come inside,
the man said.
Have some tea. I'm so very pleased that you're visiting me.
The snoodle boy stopped, though he'd only gone inches, and stared at the stranger he'd found on Mount Ginches. He didn't seem angry. In fact, he looked kind. The poor little boy was confused.
Are you blind? I'm puny. I'm silly. I'm not all that smart. I can't use my wings, and I'm no good at art.
The stranger leaned down with a pain in his heart.
Who told you these things?
He asked.
How do you know?
These pictures I have in my pack tell me so.
The small snoodle sniffled and started to go.
First, if you please, let me look at this art that makes your pack heavy and weighs down your heart.
Then, picture by picture, he unpacked the bag that bent the poor snoodle and made his wings sag.
Dear boy,
said the man,
these look nothing like you.
Then into the fire the pictures he threw. He rose from his chair, saying,
"Wait there, you'll see that what you need most is a picture from me."
The snoodle sat patiently, sipping his tea. Then from a room in the back he returned and said,
"Dear little snoodle, it's time that you learned what you really look like."
And he threw off the sheet, and what the boy saw warmed him right to his feet. The boy in the portrait looked older and strong, with wings on his back that were sturdy and long, and a look in his eye both courageous and free.
"Sir?"
asked the boy.
"Are you saying that's me? I'd like to believe it, but sir, I'm afraid to."
"But I know who you are,"
the man said.
"For I made you. I built the tower and set it in motion. I planted the meadow, put fish in the ocean. And I feed the finches, though most snoodles doubt it. Not one of them falls that I don't know about it. I've seen you fall down in the mud and the goo. I've seen all you've done and all you will do. I gave you your pack and your paints and your wings. I chose them for you. They're your special things. The snoodle kazoo is so you can sing about colors in autumn or flowers in spring. I gave you your brushes in hopes that you'd see how using them you could make pictures for me. Most of the snoodles,"
the old one said sadly,
"just use their paints to make others feel badly."
The young snoodle pondered the things he'd been told, then wondering something, grew suddenly bold.
"But, sir, if you made this incredible land, can't you make snoodles obey your command?"
The big one smiled warmly, then said to the small,
"A gift that's demanded is no gift at all."
With that, the small snoodle reached into his pack and pulled out the picture he'd made 10 miles back.
"They're far lilies, sir, from over the bridge."
The old one beamed bright and said,
"That's for my fridge."
After the small snoodle's picture was hung, the old one bent down to the face of the young. He said,
"Here's what you look like. Here's how I see you. Keep this in your pack and you'll find it will free you from all of the pictures and all of the lies that others made up just to cut down your size. And lastly, your wings. You know what they're for. But not just to fly, son. I want you to soar."
"But, sir,"
said the snoodle,
"how can I fly? This picture's so big, I won't get very high."
"But this picture's special. It's bigger, it's brighter. Carry it close, and I think you'll feel lighter."
As soon as he heard it, the snoodle looked down and noticed that he was an inch off the ground. He laughed and he leaped and he flew from the cave, feeling now older and stronger and brave. And he flew through the clouds and he flew with the finches. He soared up and down round the peak of Mount Ginches. He flew over farlily bushes in yellow and thimbuttle plants squirting snooberry jello. He flew over bigglebag trees and their fruits in big lazy loops or the land of galoots. Then hurried back home to the center of town where the snoodles all stood with their wings on the ground. And starting precisely at 2:15, he told them the story that I just told you.
Question for you, not only for the women, but also men out there, and us here. As Ben's getting ready for his song, right? But I want us to take this time to think about how many of us walk around with, caring what other people expect of us, or other people's idea of how you should be. I know us men, we deal with that. You know, I was talking to a friend, and he was telling me how much he's just always beating down on himself because he doesn't have as much money as his brothers. You know, I mean, he thinks he's not successful because of what other people think of himself. You know, maybe your family or society had a picture they paint of you. And therefore, that's preventing you from seeing who you are or who you should be. You know, but this morning, I believe, as some of the ladies shared their testimony, it might be a good time for me to start thinking about a restoration weekend for the men. Seriously, because we don't stop. We don't know how to stop. We don't know how to take a break. You know, retreat. It's normal. That's why I love my soaking. You come and you soak in God's presence. You turn your phone off. You know, you turn your computer off. You know? I have seen people who thought that having lots of money was their destiny. And yet, to their great disappointment, after all their achievement, they find out they've got all that stuff they wanted, they're still empty. God's saying, I created you for greater purpose than to work, eat, sleep, repeat, and die. He's got a greater purpose for you. And this morning I pray that as Dan sings this song, you just close your eyes and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you. You know, I like what that little boy said. He said, man, I'm puny. I'm small. I'm ugly. I mean, he didn't say ugly, but maybe some of us are thinking, I'm ugly. I'm too big. I'm too small. I'm not enough. But then, how did those things, I mean, who told you those things? God's telling you a different story. The voice of truth wants you to hear a different story. I'll never make it. You know, I'm not enough. You are enough. You are enough. Your Father in heaven wants you to see the real picture. And guess what? Because Jesus lived, because the tomb is not empty, you do have a destiny. You do have a destiny. You know, let us keep God's perspective on ourselves. Because with keeping God's perspective on my life, that frees me up from anybody else's perspective. You see, I'm not going to be a pastor like anybody else. I don't look online to how to pastor. I go in God's Word. I read here. I spend time with the Holy Spirit. I don't allow society, Facebook, YouTube, Google. I don't allow anybody to put me in a box because I know God has His own picture. You were created in His image. I better stop before I stop preaching. Go ahead.
God sent His Son. They called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon, an empty grave is there to prove my sin. He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. And life is worth the living just because He lives.
Now I want to pray this over you guys. Just close your eyes. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus over this church family that just like your word says here in Jeremiah 29:11, it's one verse most of us knows. It says, "For I know the plans I have over you. Plans to prosper you. Plans to give you a future. For I know the plan I have for you, says the Lord. There are plans for good, not for disaster, to give you a future, for you to walk in your destiny." Father, you create each of us with specific skills and ability. There's not another person on earth like me. I'm unique, and you are unique. So God, this morning we receive your destiny. Father, I removed just what we call others' expectation on our lives, especially over the ladies and all of us, us men too. Father, our status, our values does not come from the amount of money we have, the community we live, the car we drive, the clothes we wear. No, our value is from you, Lord. So because you live, God, we can face today and your light can continue to shine. Father, I pray for an increase in knowing who we are in you. Father, we thank you for what you've done this weekend. I thank you for what you're doing in Lenstown Community Church. I thank you that we are operating under open heaven. And God, as we go out from this place, may your kingdom come. May your will be done. May we walk as people who know you and know who we are in you. So may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May you continue to walk in the Lord's favor until we see again. Or maybe Jesus will come back this week. How about that? Amen. God bless you guys.